Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We're going to hop into the Blitz here in just a moment on the Gabe Kuhn Show. But before that, I have to tell you, this NBA playoffs FanDuel is giving all customers two chances to bring home a big win with a no-sweat same-game parlay every weekend of the playoffs. Just place an SGP on any playoff matchup and you get bonus bets back if you do not win. Bet on everything from rebounds to assists to three-pointers, first basket score, whatever there is, you can go bet on. Visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K, again, G-A-B-E-K, and shoot your shot on America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NBA and 92.9 ESPN. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Minimum three-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And if you have a gambling problem, make sure that you reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now we have to transition to the NFL and the Blitz right here. Hit it, Connor.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, what we got?
In case you didn't know, Gabe, the NFL draft was last night.
Sure was.
Round one specifically.
It was.
Give me your two biggest winners and your two biggest losers.
Now, I'll get to my loser second, and I have like a sort of a bonus loser,
Ooh, bonus content.
So we have some bonus content. I'll give you a free loser. But my winners are very, very simple, and the first one is the most obvious one. They got their quarterback of the future, and they got another wide receiver to pair along with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. That'd be the Bears. Getting Caleb Williams and Roma Dunsey night one. Now, I was okay. If they would have gotten an offensive lineman with that ninth pick, you feel okay about it. Honestly, I think it's more of a necessity to get an offensive lineman than you know, a wide receiver. But when we talk about luxuries, they have a luxury in Roma Dunsey. He has the potential to be, a number one receiver in this league, but they have two number ones already on the roster. When you look at how that offensive roster has filled itself out, I said this yesterday, Justin Fields, watching what the Bears did at number nine, I said he's somewhere and there's a hole in the drywall somewhere close to him. Yeah, I mean, you got to punch the wall looking at what the Bears are doing for Caleb Williams. I mean, let's just go through this. Running backs, DeAndre Swift they signed, and he was a 1,000-yard rusher last year. You have two really good backup running backs that could be change-of-pace guys, Roschon Johnson, who they drafted last year, and Khalil Herbert, who has been phenomenal. You look at their wide receiver room, Roma Dunsey, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen.
Good Lord.
I can't, like,
it's crazy.
DJ Moore is an outside receiver. Roma Dunsey can go inside and outside, and you have your slot in Keenan Allen. You have all, like, everything's covered. It's not just that you have three great talents at wide receiver. They all supplement each other really well. And then this is the other thing that I think gets sort of lost about what the Bears have done this offseason. Their tight ends are damn good. You have Cole Kmet, who's really, he's been very solid pass catcher.
Steady.
For Justin Fields, and now he probably will be for Caleb Williams. But then they got Gerald Everett, who's been a really good pass catcher for the Chargers, and they let go of him this offseason. So, I mean, the multiplicity that they're going to have, the ability to run different sets on the offensive side, it's going to be insane. You could have two tight ends on the field at some time, one tight end, no tight ends. You're just going to be able to be so multiple on the offensive side. And I want to see what Caleb Williams looks like in year one, but when we see sort of like what he has, this might be the best situation in the modern era that a quarterback's ever stepped into. And I think it's very likely that the Bears get their 4,000-yard passer. I think it's very likely that Caleb Williams will probably statistically be the best rookie quarterback of all time. Just because he has so much around
him. Wow.
Now, on the defensive side, they still have some things they need to do. They have two more picks, one in the third, one in the fourth. I'd say go get some defense, go get some O-line help, see what you can do. But this offense is so set. And I'm starting to just sit here and think about the possibilities in the NFC North. We know the Packers are going to be around, that type of thing. But the Bears could definitely, I think a wild card spot, I think you should look at them to potentially be a playoff team next year. Caleb Williams is absolutely blessed, and the Bears, they knocked it out of the park.
Home
they
run.
Did everything they needed
Home
to
run.
Do last night, and they didn't have to trade down, do all that stuff. My second winner is a smaller one, Detroit and the Lions. I think Detroit is a big winner. Last night, that was really cool, just to see the everybody packing the streets to Detroit. Detroit doesn't get all these wins all the time, and to see the hype that they have around the Lions, to see all those people in one place in downtown Detroit for a big event, that was fun. But I think the Lions in the draft did really damn well. They only had one pick, and they traded up for it, and they traded up with the Cowboys. I'll get to the Cowboys in a second. Traded up with the Cowboys, and they got Terrion Arnold. And the reason I love that pick at 24 so much is Terrion Arnold is truly a Dan Campbell guy. I mean, he is 2 years ago. He was a reserve defensive back at Alabama, and he was struggling. Nick Saban chewed him out on the sideline, but then everybody asked him, you know, what do you think about Nick Saban going after you like that? Is it tough? And he goes, I listen to what he says, not how he's saying it. And he's very coachable, very pliable. He's the guy who did the length thing, let a naysayer know. Like, he's the one who started that whole thing. He has a really good relationship with all the guys at Alabama. Nick Saban, on the broadcast on ABC last night, could not say enough good words about him. So I really love that pick because I think the fit's going to be phenomenal. And now you have two Alabama DBs in that defensive backfield, Terrion Arnold and Brian Branch. Brian Branch, rookie year, was phenomenal. So they are – the big thing with them is offensively they're set. They have a good O-line. Amon-Ra St. Brown's locked up. You have some good things going on there. They needed to get the defense right, and in particular the defensive backfield. They traded up. They got their guy, and I thought it was a great pick. Now, losers. Obvious one, Falcons. I mean, not Michael Penix. He's a big winner from last night. I'm so happy. I already mentioned this. I'm happy for Michael Penix Jr. But the Falcons just – it makes no sense. It makes no sense to me. You've put yourself on two different timelines. You have a win-now timeline with Kirk Cousins, and now you're putting a guy who's 24 years old in the oven to learn from Kirk Cousins. Michael Penix Jr. is already who he's going to be. I don't mind a team picking Michael Penix Jr. and thinking he can be a quarterback of the future. But the Falcons were not the team. Go, if you're going to win now, which is what you have told us you're going to do, you're in an easy division in the NFC South, and you signed a guy for $100 million guaranteed at 35 coming off an Achilles surgery. You're saying, I want this guy because he's better than Desmond Ridder. He can get Bijan Robinson the ball. He can get Drake London the ball. He can get Kyle Pitts the ball. If you're going to win now, go win now. Make your whole roster better. Go get Dallas Turner. Go get a defensive piece. You can't sit here and just be on these two different timelines. And again, I talked about this earlier. The Packers thing is the dumbest comparison ever.
It makes no sense.
It makes
to
no
me.
Sense because Kirk Cousins hasn't played a game for the Falcons.
He's also not Aaron Rodgers.
And also Jordan Love was for lack of a better term, he was a developmental prospect.
Yeah.
Michael Penix Jr. is who he is. I just don't get what the Falcons did last night, and I can't rationalize it. I've seen a lot of people try to rationalize it today. I cannot do it. And then another loser, the Bills. Why trade down twice and get the first pick of the second round? And then you traded with a team that you're trying to get over top of in the AFC and the Chiefs, and they trade up and they get Xavier Worthy.
That's called the Bills special.
Hey, what are you doing? Why are you allowing the Chiefs to move up and get that guy? He runs a 4-2-1, and by the way, he's a good wide receiver. He's a 1,000-yard wide receiver. This isn't like the John Ross thing. you know, with Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day, he wasn't that good of a receiver when he was at Washington. He was just sort of a deep threat. Xavier Worthy can run routes, and he's been consistently good over the years.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think he'll be phenomenal with Patrick Mahomes as long as he can catch the ball. And I certainly think he can. It's definitely better than Kadarius Toney or Sky Moore or anybody else. But why did the Bills allow that to happen? Go get a wide receiver. Go get somebody. You don't have Stephon Diggs anymore. You don't have Gabe Davis. Your wide receiver room's bare. Why didn't you get Xavier Worthy? Why didn't you get, you know, you could trade up and get Brian Thomas. Why didn't you get Xavier Leggett? Find somebody there to go make your offense better and give Josh Allen some weapons. But instead you trade with the team that you're chasing, and they get the guy. They get the wide receiver that they want.
It was so funny because as soon as that pick got made, every single fan base in the country went, are
oh,
you
no.
serious? Mahomes now has the fastest guy in the NFL? How did we allow this to happen? Kyron Samuels, he was hysterical. He was just like,
yeah,
this
like,
is
oh
malpractice.
God, this is not okay.
We cannot allow this to happen. DEFCON 1.
It's
Mahomes
ridiculous.
Has somebody that runs a 4.2. What are we doing?
4.21. 4.21, fastest 40 time in the
God.
History of the NFL Combine.
What are we doing?
And the Bills allowed it to happen. The Bills, who were chasing that team, allowed that to happen. So they're my other loser. And I'm going to give you my bonus loser. And this has to do with the Cowboys.
I wonder who this could be. Yes.
The Lions traded up to take Terrion Arnold, and I love that pick. Why did the Cowboys trade down? What was the point of that? You trade down. I think that there's a guy out there named Graham Barton. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers ultimately got him. He can play. He played left tackle at Duke, but he played center. He played right guard. He played left guard. What do you need right now with Tyron Smith out the door? You don't have a center right now. You need an interior guy who has versatility. And I think Graham Barton is one of the safest picks in this draft. I think the Buccaneers got a steal, a guy. I know it's not a sexy pick because he's an interior offensive lineman, but he's a can't-miss guy to me. Those guys rarely bust. If you get a center prospect in the first round, I think the guy who tracked it from 2000 to 2019, there's been 11 hits on centers in the first round, only one miss from 2000 to 2019. It's like a 90-some-odd percent hit rate if you get an interior offensive lineman in the first round. So I don't know why the Cowboys traded out. And then they trade down, and they get a guy by the name of Tyler Guyton. Now, Tyler Guyton, huge, massive human being, 6'7", 330, you know, has the attributes that you want in a tackle of the future, now that you don't have Tyron Smith and you have to move on. But he's only played 14 games, started 14 games at TCU and then at Oklahoma. And he played right tackle mostly. You have Terrence Steele, who you paid a bunch of money to. You have Tyler Smith on the other side to potentially play left tackle. What are you doing with him? And he's a developmental prospect. If you're the Cowboys, you should be in this win-now mode. But based on this offseason, Connor, they don't seem to be in win-now mode. They said they were all in. That's what Jerry Jones keeps saying. But show me it. You should show me it. I don't work well with words. I work well with action. And all of their actions have been incredibly unserious. You take Tyler Guyton, who's a developmental right tackle prospect in the first round, after trading down and not getting Graham Barton. They're about to re-sign Zeke Elliott. They're going with a nostalgia pick
right
now.
Yeah, I saw that. Yikes.
When your lead back is going to be Rico Dowdle? Are we being serious? You haven't re-signed or extended Micah Parsons, Dak Prescott, or CeeDee Lamb. Like, I know I'm calling them a loser from round one last night. They've been a loser all offseason. The Cowboys have to get this thing going, and the Joneses in that front office, they are moving incredibly unseriously.
It's crazy. It's we've been talking about it. This is the Cowboys have an opportunity, it feels like, to really compete and to win an NFL championship for the first time, it feels like, in 20-plus years. Like, a real chance. They have the guys right now, and they're playing with
great
fire.
Defense.
I don't understand it. They're like, we want to do it one more year, and then just we're not sure about the rest of the future. All you have to do is sign these guys. Give them their money. Pay them. You have the money. We know you have the money.
And the thing that bothers me is by signing CeeDee Lamb, extending them, extending Micah Parsons, extending Dak Prescott, you could have cleared a bunch of cap space because you could backload those contracts. You could have cleared cap space and done something in free agency. They made one free agent signing, and that was Eric Kendricks. One free agent signing. So the Cowboys, I think getting Tyler Guyton last night makes me put them in the loser category for round one of the draft. But this entire offseason, they have lost their way. They're the richest franchise in American sports, but it seems like they're the cheapest right now. Seems like they're not willing to spend money.
In other NFL news, Guardian caps, a.k.a. diapers, which have been used in practices to reduce brain injuries, have been cleared for use during the regular season.
Now, I've talked to a bunch of my friends who play in the NFL. They hate them. Too much. It's heavy on their head. It's uncomfortable.
I bet it makes you feel like a bobblehead.
It's relatively ugly, too. Like, you don't see, like, if you're...
It is a bit dorky.
Yeah. You don't see the emblem on your helmet when you wear it. So I'll say this. I don't think... Even though they've gotten cleared for, regular gameplay, regular season games, I don't think you're going to see anybody wear them during the game. I just don't see that happening. From style, from how heavy it is on your head, they just don't seem to like them. Now, I will say this. This, you know, if you're going to use them in practices, why wouldn't you use them in a game? It's like I saw Brad Carson, our fearless leader, so he tweeted this out. He's like, it's like having a seatbelt and not using it. You know what I mean? It's like we know that Guardian caps help reduce brain injuries. Why would we not use them? You only use them in practice, but in the game, it's like, oh, it's free for all. Let's get these head injuries in the game. Doesn't matter. I'm fine with it. I don't see anybody actually going out of their way to use it during a regular season game.
I wonder, one of my first thoughts when I saw the news was, one, I doubt many guys are going to do it because ultimately I think that they just don't like wearing them because they may be uncomfortable, but can we also be honest about it? It doesn't look cool. So not that the players aren't going to wear it.
They look dorky.
The players want to look cool. I understand it. I get it.
Yeah, but it was
funny, though, because I did think, is it going to be a way for us to identify guys who are definitely playing with a concussion, though, when like all of a sudden they're wearing a diaper? Like they go out of the game, they go into the tent, and they're like, no, they're fine. He's wearing it now all of a sudden. It's like, well,
that's a dead giveaway.
Why
is
that on
his
head now?
Yeah.
And because you know the teams are going to do that.
Here's one thing also that I have been told by some people in the know. I never wore a Guardian cap. That was after my time at the University of Memphis and the AAF. But Guardian caps do slip off the helmet sometimes. Like they're not, like if you're big contact, falling on the ground, rolling over, they could come off. There may be a little bit of a safety hazard if someone steps on it.
Can you throw them at people?
I don't know. But, like, if someone steps, it falls off, someone steps on it, falls on it weird, you know, that could be a concern. But if they're doing it in practice, it might as well be allowed in the game. You know what I mean? We have the technology to try to keep people from getting brain injuries, you might as well clear them for use at all times.
I wonder if there's going to eventually be a helmet that has it built into it. Like, that somehow you don't have, it's not an addition to it.
These helmets are really good now these days. Like, the shock-absorbing technology, like Avicii's does the really good ones where it's just perfect shock absorption. So maybe, though, I don't know if they're going to build it into a helmet, but... I think it will be kind of funny the first time we see someone wear it in a game. It'll look kind of goofy. I'll say that much. But I think guys do need to start thinking about, you know, I know you want to look cool. I know it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but you do need to think about your long-term health.
You need to think about the
brain injuries you actually can sustain while you're on a football field. And if it helps, it helps.
I could see linemen and quarterbacks wearing it, though. I could. I think it would make sense for them to wear it.
Linemen and D-linemen, it would make the most sense.
Because they're getting in a car crash every snap.
Yeah. I know it all too well.
Yeah.
I know it all too well. Head-to-head contact is common. Now, it's from a short distance, so it's not like, you know, getting a full running start and knocking somebody in the head.
That's so much better.
But
how big did you say that Guyton was?
6'7", 330.
Yeah, okay. Continue.
Yeah. But, this is fine. This is fine. If somebody wants to use it in the game, they can use it in the game. I just think it'll look really goofy the first time they do it. And I don't know if they're really into it. But we'll see. We'll see. Now let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we'll come back and wrap up the show and wrap up this week right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.